Under the Radar, bringing movies and people together, one frame at a time.
Hey guys, I'm Randy Unger, and this is another episode of Under the Radar, bringing movies and people together, one frame at a time. And with me tonight, a man who needs no introduction, Mr. Matt Roran. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Hello, and thanks for introducing me, or else people would be like, who is that guy that didn't get an introduction?
Yes, yes, you are the man, the myth, the legend. So thank you so much for being here tonight.
It's always an honor to be in your presence.
Oh, sir, thank you, sir. So how's everything going since the last time I saw you?
It's been a week. It was, you know, the holiday week, which is a busy week. It was, you know, it's very heavy. Had a kids for 5 days straight, which I'm not used to except in the summer. But, you know, okay. I felt much like Paul Giamatti in the Holdovers.
Yes.
Looking nice. After these rascals.
I love the great metaphor there. Or is it simile? Yeah, I'm happy to hear you had a nice Thanksgiving. I did as well. I actually had two Thanksgivings. My dad's side, another with my mom. Yeah. And the first one was actually at Ben's in Carl Place.
Very nice. Very lovely nice.
Jewish deli. Had a nice corned beef sandwich and some really good coleslaw. I think it's the best coleslaw I've ever had in my life. It was just perfect. And then saw my mom the next day. And had a real home-cooked meal with her. And just a really good time had by both sides of the family. Saw my stepmom, my stepbrother, his girlfriend. It was great. And it's just a really good excuse to overeat. And I did it 2 days in a row. So I'm still
wonderful.
Yeah.
I was so full from Thanksgiving at my parents' house on Thursday. That like I really only started eating again actual like meals yesterday.
Yeah,
it held me over for a while, which was also annoying because the kids were, the second we got home from my parents' house, they were like, we're hungry, and I'm like, how?
Yeah,
so
definitely still have some leftovers in the fridge, and that'll be
same. I was actually just having some of my mom's matzo ball soup, which she made extra containers for me to bring home. So
lovely. Very good. Yeah. I still have some breaded chicken in the fridge, courtesy of mom. Really good stuff. The best food. My favorite food is her home cooking.
So. Oh, yeah.
So good. Well, that's great, man. I'm very happy to hear that. And yeah, you did mention the Holdovers, and that is our primary review of tonight. The movie is directed by the great Alexander Payne, and it is written by David Hemmingson. And this film takes place in the early 70s at a boarding school in New England, where a handful of students basically have nowhere to go for the holiday season. So they are basically sequestered at this school. They are being supervised by a curmudgeon of a teacher in Paul Giamatti. And the things that happen at this school and outside of the school, all under Giamatti's watchful eye, it gets a little crazy. This movie, you know, it's a return to form for Payne, who, you know, he has a fantastic career going back to 1996. He did a Citizen Ruth. That was his first feature. So he's really evolved and just into such a great filmmaker. And in going back and seeing all of his films, starting with Citizen Ruth, he has officially become one of my absolute favorite filmmakers. So I'm very excited to talk about the Holdovers and Payne's filmography. But first, Matt, what were your thoughts of his latest?
Oh, I loved it. It's one of those like perfect, like feel good, like comedies without being like cheesy, you know, like it's so well balanced in like reality. But you know, it's like there's, you know, you have sad moments, you have happy moments, you know, it's all in there. You know, I love movies like this. I mean, I always have the typical you know, elderly man, child, you know, not child, but like young adult, you know, forming that connection, you know, everything from, well, I mean, it doesn't always have to be a man either, because you go back to like Harold and Maude, but you know, like, you know, it's watching a mutual respect grow in right. the younger and the older generations, you know, especially when the character's such a curmudgeon.
You know, this movie, it feels, I mean, I mentioned this movie a lot in the past, but this reminds me so much of Wonder Boys. It's not even funny.
Yeah. And yeah.
I mean,
we're just talking about Wonder Boys two shows ago.
Indeed. I can't talk about it enough. Like, I love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely had vibes like that. And it felt not only like, you know, as a period piece, it felt like a movie that was made in the 70s.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like, you know, a movie like The Graduate or, you know, Harold and Maude. It had that, like that kind of humor. Prettiness. Like, everything was of the time.
Right.
So it wasn't, 'cause a lot of times in a period piece, you'll get a lot of, like, quippy dialogue that's very modern. Mm. I feel like this was written like it was written in the 70s. I really respect that, you know, precise, you know, keeping it in that frame.
And I think it even starts with the opening titles. Like, it feels like it's from the 70s. Like, you get the same kind of titles that you would get from a 70s film.
There's I mean, everything,
you know, 70s. I mean, even the picture quality, it's kind of grainy. And kind of washed out, and a lot of browns and earth tones. The soundtrack is also worth mentioning. Definitely takes you to the period.
Soundtrack is incredible.
Yes,
you know, you have all, you know, your classics, your Cat Stevens and such. Funny story: someone actually came out of that movie at the cinema and said, "Man, the music you guys listen to these days is so weird."
Uh-huh.
And we're like, all those songs are from like when you were a kid.
Yeah.
And he's like, what? I was like, how have you not heard Cat Stevens?
Right.
Like, I was like, what?
It's all good. And I love it.
Yeah.
I mean, I was not around during the 70s, so I'm assuming it was true to the period. And just there's a great scene with one of the characters, played by Davine Joy Randolph. Basically, she's at a party with Giamatti and the actor who plays Angus, and she's in charge of the music, and she's playing like really cool, soulful stuff, and nobody's like appreciating it, and she's like, back off. This is music. This is real music.
Yeah.
I love that.
It sounds like some old like swing music and big band stuff. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
But
I want to mention, I mentioned Randolph. She was fantastic. She's already been nominated. She's been nominated for a few awards so far, and I definitely see an Oscar nomination in her near future.
Yeah, yeah. I'd like to see her win. I mean, she was fantastic.
Stole the show, in my opinion.
I mean, it's you know, her performance was an integral piece of this puzzle.
Indeed. And newcomer Dominic Sessa, who I am not familiar with at all, really, aside from this one.
I've never seen him in anything that I know of.
He was great, too. I couldn't really take my eyes off him. He was, like, kind of just magnetic. He, like, has kind of this star power. And all the other...
Kind of reminds me of how, like, when Anton Yelchin first started, he had that kind of, like, where you're like, I don't know this guy, but I want to know this guy.
Yes.
And then we did. May he rest in peace.
May he rest in peace. He had a short but brilliant career. Hopefully, Dominic Sessa will have a longer career than that. I see, like, you know, superhero movies in his future. Plenty of.
I'm hoping he's one of those guys that'll turn it down.
We'll see. But he was great. And of course, we've got, in the middle of it all, Paul Giamatti, the incomparable Paul Giamatti, I should say. And this is his first collaboration with Alexander Payne since Sideways, which was almost 20 years ago, which is insane that it's taken them two decades to get back together. And it's like no time has passed, really. I can just tell they have a great chemistry, you know, filmmaker actor relationship. And it just it really shows, because the directing and the acting in this film is pretty much flawless, I'd say.
Yeah.
And, you know, I Giamatti can do no wrong. He's always been reliable in everything he's done. So he was perfectly cast here. I don't know if any other actors were considered, but I'm really glad that Paul was in the film for sure.
Yeah.
This movie, like, I literally just saw it this afternoon, and I'm still smiling about it. I'm still happy. Like, the just a really warm, lovely holiday feeling. You know, it's just definite replay value. Can't wait to see it again.
Yeah. Oh yeah, instant classic. This is gonna be, you know, for years to come. This is gonna be the kind of movie we rewatch Thanksgiving. You know, it's earning its place next to Planes, Trains, and Automobiles and Dutch and Rocky. You know,
I did see the similarities between this and Dutch. This is a much better film, in my opinion, but The Holdovers, currently in theaters and might be in my Blu-ray collection in the near future. So definitely, we shall see. I wanted to just go back a bit. I mentioned Alexander Payne's filmography. He started in 96 back with Citizen Ruth, which also had an ensemble cast. And that was led by Laura Dern. I had never heard about that film aside from like 2 weeks ago. And I'm glad I did. Oh. Really great film for Payne to kind of get his feet wet with. Very Payne. But I'd say things really didn't pick up until about Election in 99.
It's just one of my absolute favorite movies of all time.
It's so good. It's so well acted.
That movie. The second they released that Criterion.
Nice.
I went out and bought a new copy because I was like, I absolutely love it. Like, the performances in that movie, like, to me, that is like Reese Witherspoon's definitive film. Like, everyone's got, you know, they're Legally Blonde and they're, everyone, you know, different periods of her, but like that movie, like when I think of her, I think that movie.
Yeah.
I mean,
and she was like 19 years old in that. And she showed right away how such great acting chops and playing against Matthew Broderick. They were just so good together. And even Chris Klein, in a totally oblivious role. But just a fun movie, quintessential dramedy. I think Payne is the master of the dramedy. If you look at all of his films. So Election was great. That was in 99. He followed that up with About Schmidt in 2002, which starred the amazing, the legendary Jack Nicholson. About a guy, an older gentleman, his wife has recently passed, and he's kind of going on this spiritual existential journey, and along the way he meets Kathy Bates, who gets naked in the movie, but
you get to see her boobs, which is something that I never thought I would see, and I did on the big screen when it came out. I saw that in theaters and was like, whoa, what? Yeah,
we all did. And I think that was one of the most memorable aspects of the film was a naked Kathy Bates. But whatever. It is a very good film. It's a very it's a very subtle, a very subdued film with an understated Jack Nicholson, who is kind of just this older gentleman who's going through life like, whatever, okay, what's next, you know? Kind of a theme in many of Payne's other films. And so that was 02. 2 years later in 04, he would come up with probably my favorite Payne film, Sideways, which is the first time he worked with Giamatti. And this film, like, I rewatched it about a week and a half ago, and it gets better and better, just like a fine wine.
It ages like a fine wine, yes.
Indeed. And it is so good, and the performances are like perfect.
Oh yeah. I mean, anything with Thomas Hayden Church, you've got my attention. Pretty much anything with any of them, you've got my attention. I mean, I love the entire cast, but you know, I do have a big fondness for Thomas Hayden Church. I just love his delivery. I just love it because he's got this way of being subtle and over the top at the same time. I don't know how he does it, but ever since Wings, I've been in love with this man.
Wings. I did not think I'd hear a Wings reference tonight, but okay. I'm open to it. It's awesome. I love Hayden Church. Even in like smaller roles, like George of the Jungle, he played the villain in that. He was actually nominated for an Oscar for Sideways, which he definitely deserved a nomination. Glad he got that. But this movie is so good. It's not just funny and heartfelt, but you actually learn about wine. I've never been a wine guy, but this movie kind of makes me want to go to a vineyard. I don't know.
Everything I know about wine, I know from that movie. That should be anytime, like, well, it's funny at work too. Of like, I'm in the cafe and someone asks for a Merlot, and it's like, what's the first thing that comes into your mind when you hear someone talk about a Merlot?
No effing Merlot.
Exactly.
There you go. So that is Sideways, guys, and that is my personal favorite Payne film. So great. And it is actually, next year will mark its 20th anniversary, so we may have to, that may be an excuse to talk about Payne some more in a future Under the Radar episode, so we'll see. All right, so after that, he actually didn't make a film for 7 years after Sideways. That's crazy. So he would, so Sideways was 04. In 2011, he would come out with another amazing film, The Descendants, starring George Clooney. Basically plays his wife had been in a boating accident. She's currently in a coma, and he's basically trying to deal with everything with his two young daughters. And this movie is, again, so well acted. Such a great screenplay. Oh, by the way, Sideways and The Descendants both won Oscars for Best Adapted Screenplay. So, and rightfully so, because the writing in both films is fantastic. And The Descendants is just really heartbreaking. It's kind of funny too in some parts, but it's really the characters that, and the act, the performances that really propels it to great heights. Yeah. What did you think of The Descendants, Matt?
I mean, I liked it. It got so much hype when it was out that I think I kind of like was disappointed by it when I finally saw it. I mean, it was like, I saw it like a couple weeks in to its release, and people had hyped it up so much that I kind of was disappointed. But on a rewatch, I really like got into it, and I thought it was definitely one of Clooney's best roles.
Yes.
You know, the way he played it, he's usually like charming. But in this, he wasn't like, his character wasn't so charming, but like there was this heart in it that you like normally don't get. It's like kind of covered.
Right.
But he's usually very like, I guess, like very likable.
Yeah.
And this is like he's a little gruff.
Yeah.
Which I guess like the lead men in every Payne movie are, they're always a little gruff.
Right. Well, they're all very human and grounded in reality. Yeah. And they're just flawed people. Yeah. Flawed human beings. And
I feel like that's something that Payne really gets out in his films that a lot of other people don't really, you know, they don't paint things so human. Mm-hmm. And it's good to see Clooney in a role like that, where it's not so like, because I feel like he's always like kind of like mischievous and like what, like, and you know, this was just kind of like, oh, he's a person. Like,
It's nice to see him in not like an action role or a goofy comedy or even Batman.
This was Shailene Woodley's first film. Was this after Fault in Our Stars?
This came out, this was her second movie.
Second movie.
After a movie called Moolah. I never heard of Moolah.
Oh, okay. I want to know. But yeah, this was like her first like big film. Yeah. After like, you know, she started out, I guess, with like Secret Life of an American Teenager. And she was, I think, in an American Girl Dolls movie.
Yeah. Well, she definitely like, showed.
Launched her career.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great film to do that. Like, she was super young. She was a teenager. And you could really tell, even at such a young age, that she shows such range and emotions.
Yeah.
Like, her mom is in a coma, for God's sake. And she's really, like, angry about it. And I just love the relationship between the two girls and Clooney. You believe that they are this family that is going through something just horrific. And you got a beautiful backdrop in Hawaii, which, you know, beautiful setting, horrible events transpiring. Oh. So, and it's also got some other great cast members, Beau Bridges, Judy Greer, Matthew Lillard, and Robert Forster. So, Payne definitely attracts strong casts, which is great. He has a very... he's got a great
cast. I can't imagine anyone being like, I don't want to work with him. Like,
You know, I think that the sentence might have been after Sideways. It was the first Payne film I ever saw. I think I saw it in theaters too. And
first Payne movie I saw was Election. I saw that in the theater when it came out.
Cool.
I've seen every one of his movies in the theater since then, except for Downsizing.
Which is, we're going to get to that in just a minute. Yeah. Before that, though, we have a much better movie than Downsizing. We have Nebraska from 2013.
Holy moly.
Yes.
Oh, you know.
Now, okay.
I might say that this is my favorite
movie. Well, let me just
give I just rewatched this one recently, too. God, I love this movie.
Now, for those who don't know Nebraska, this is it was shot in black and white, and it stars the great, another legend, Bruce Dern, as a grump, another curmudgeon, actually. Older gentleman who thinks he's won the lottery, so he basically wants to travel a great distance to retrieve his prize money. And he basically... he and his son, played by a great Will Forte, they embark on this road trip to go get the money. And a lot of crazy stuff happens along the way. They encounter some family members. There's a one of Dern's old buddies is now, you know, it's like an awkward situation. They all basically want a cut of his money. And there really isn't any money. It's just like it just doesn't make any sense what he's doing.
Which of course Forte tells him in the very beginning.
Right.
Is like, this is a publisher's clearinghouse letter. Like, this is garbage. It's garbage. And then he just and then he finally breaks down. He's like, fine, we'll go get this money.
Right.
You know,
he wants to make his dad happy in this ludicrous plot. And, you know, he's a good son to do that. You know, it's really sweet.
Yeah.
And I don't think Bruce has ever been better, really. I mean, he's done great
he was work. Top of his game in the movie.
Yeah.
And Forte, I mean, for a dramatic role, you know, it's like usually don't get to see him in a role that's not a like a goofy, dumbass comedy. And he was
also June Squibb plays Bruce Dern's
the mother. She was incredible.
She was actually Jack Nicholson's wife in About Schmidt. There you go, full circle.
Yeah. She's always great. Odenkirk's in this movie too.
That's right.
Odenkirk.
And Stacey Keach. So you got the great Stacey Keach. This movie is just fantastic. The fact that it was shot in black and white, it just makes it all the more impactful, in my opinion.
Yeah.
It just adds to the quality. I kind of wish more filmmakers would do this, you know.
Yeah, it's good to see every so often someone, you know, do it. And you know, we get maybe like one movie every like 2 or 3 years that someone does that. But
right.
Nebraska worked on every level.
Yeah,
I Was that 20? What year was that? 2014?
13. Yeah.
But yeah, like I definitely remember that being one of my favorite movies of the year. Was that also the year that Inside Llewyn Davis came out?
Yes, it was actually.
Yes.
Wow, year. So good year.
Those two movies like were my like top two. I was like, oh my god, like
yeah.
And then
I could be mistaken, but I think the Joaquin Phoenix movie Her, it might have come out that year too, or a year after.
Her might have. Yeah, it was around then too as well.
What a great period.
But yeah. Oh.
So yeah. Good. But yeah, Nebraska's up there for me too. Definitely top five Payne films for sure. Now, after Nebraska, he went on to do a film 4 years later called Downsizing. Now, this movie, it's a strange one, and it's basically another dramedy, but this is kind of more of a quirky, weird sci-fi dramedy with Matt Damon as a average Joe who finds out about this new shrinking technology. And basically, if you're shrunk, you get into live in this like dollhouse community where everything is like unlimited food, unlimited pleasure, and things get a little strange, as do with most Payne films. I'm not a huge Matt Damon fan. It would have been cool to see George Clooney in this, or even Giamatti. But you know, it's a strange film. Matt, I believe you have not seen this one.
Yes, this is the one I've not seen.
Out of all of Payne's films,
out of all of his films, I believe this is the only one I have not seen.
Okay.
And then besides, you know, Citizen Ruth, the only one I didn't see when it came out theatrically as well. It's one of those things. It came out at a weird time where like I just didn't have the time to go see it. Didn't show it because we would get the Payne movies at the theater. This one we did not get.
Okay.
I think we had passed on it. Our directors were not interested in this film. Huh. Usually anything sci-fi they pass on. So
yeah, it's a weird one for sure. But so, it's
yeah, because it's like
yeah,
and it's funny because you know since I've been working there, I mean Sideways was a little bit before I started working there, but I remember it being huge there.
Yeah,
Descendants did incredible for us. Nebraska did incredible for us. Holdovers right now is doing amazing. It's third week in and we're still selling out shows.
Nice.
It's doing better than any movie we've had since Banshees of Inisherin. So
wow. All right.
It's really great.
And that's a good indicator for the award shows for sure. A good predictor.
Yeah.
I love that. So
but yeah, Downsizing is just kind of did not hit my radar really. I knew it existed and you know, I was like, I will see this eventually.
Yeah.
But it just hasn't happened yet.
Okay. Well, it's not a great one, but it does have a good cast led by Damon. We also have Christoph Waltz, Hong Chau, who's actually the best part of the movie. She plays a Vietnamese woman who basically gets involved with Damon's character, and just really strange plot, interesting twists.
She's great. I mean,
yeah,
two of my favorite movies last year.
It was
Menu and the Whale.
The Whale was amazing. What was the other one?
Menu.
Oh man, yes, I love that one. So good. Yeah. And also rounding out the cast for Downsizing is a very underutilized Kristen Wiig, who I think had good chemistry with Damon. Would have liked to see more of that, but whatever. So, yeah, I mean, Matt, if you're curious, if you're a Payne completist like me, Alexander Payne's, you know, filmography is not complete unless you've seen Downsizing. I recommend it. Nice. Oh, so I may even, you know, go back and check out his short films when he was a student. Because, I want to just see everything this man has done. And, you know, he's just so good. The Holdovers is just another notch on his belt. And I really hope he gets another Oscar for this.
I have a feeling this one's going to be a big contender in the Oscars this year.
Yeah, we shall see. So overall, Matt, favorite Payne film?
I think I'm gonna go Nebraska. It's between that and Election, but
okay.
I don't know. I just think Nebraska is one of, I mean, that's probably land somewhere in like my top 25 favorite movies of all time. I mean, I love that movie. I just think it's so like just biting it's perfect. It's a perfect film.
Are you talking about Nebraska or Election?
Nebraska.
Nebraska.
I mean, Election is definitely like high up there, but like, I think I'm going to say Nebraska.
All right. Yeah. And a perfect movie to watch with your dad, I'd say, you know, just so you can share in the awkwardness and the tension and everything that goes along with a father-son relationship. But yeah, Nebraska's up there for me too. I love Sideways so much. Like rewatching it, it was just such a lighthearted, breezy watch, and the characters just felt real, especially Thomas Hayden Church and Sandra Oh. I love their relationship. It's so funny. And Giamatti is just ridiculous. I also wanted to mention actually a non-Payne film, which I rewatched as well to kind of get, you know, prepared for this episode. American Splendor, pretty good film, I would say. And you also have a curmudgeon in Giamatti. Yep. It might be tied with Sideways as the best Giamatti film, in my opinion. But
that might be my favorite Giamatti film. Yeah.
Oh, really? Cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, Giamatti. I think he's going to get a nomination. I hope he does. We still have some time left in the year. Hopefully, we'll get other great performances. And so far, kind of a weird year for film, but some strong performances so far. I think the Holdovers is going to do very well for the award shows. So Sideways is up there. I love The Descendants. It's depressing yet really well acted and kind of funny. And About Schmidt, a movie you don't really hear about often. It's really well acted. A nice later Nicholson performance. And just really good stuff. So yeah, Alexander Payne is now officially one of my favorite filmmakers, and I cannot wait to see what he's going to come up with next. But right now, The Holdovers is in theaters, and
it'll have to hold you over.
Hey, hey now, I love it. Yes, it'll hold you over until award season. So check that out. Holdovers in theaters now. And Matt, we have come to the time of plugs. How's everything going at Pickle Island? How's the Cinema Arts Center?
Pickle Island, you know, we're in our winter lull, but that doesn't mean you can't stop by and get yourself some pickles. We all now also have, for the holiday season, we have homemade eggnog and ice cream as well. Just a couple different flavors. There's a French vanilla. There's a, you know, like mocha. There's a couple different flavors. But
how's the pickle ice cream?
I've not ventured into that. That's a little out of my range of experimentation. But okay. I hear it's really good.
Okay.
So that's going on at Pickle Island, and then Saturday nights at 9:30 at the Cinema Arts Center. Cult Cafe is always going on. We start our December this week with Beetlejuice. An absolute classic. Yes. We're doing 1978's Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Oh, nice.
We got Shane Black's Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
Oh yes, awesome
movie. Then the New Year's Eve treasure 200 cigarettes with an all-star cast from 1999 taking place the New Year's Eve of 1981. It is just a fun little ensemble film.
Great cast. That's led by Christina Ricci, right?
Yeah, you got Christina Ricci, you got both Afflecks are in it. Martha Plimpton,
right?
In one of her great film roles outside of the 80s. But of course, playing the '80s, Jeanine Garofalo, Paul Rudd, Dave Chappelle, Courtney Love.
Oh wow, Courtney Love, crazy.
Yeah, remember when she was acting?
She's not bad.
Although technically she was acting before she was in, because she's in Sid and Nancy.
Oh, is she? Oh, interesting. Okay,
she plays Nancy's best friend in Sid and Nancy, and that was maybe like a decade before Hole.
Gotcha. Yeah, she's not a bad actress. I mean, she's
I mean, she was great in she was in Man on the Moon, Jim Carrey. Andy Kaufman film. She played.
Was she in The People versus Larry Flint?
Versus Larry Flint.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. That's an incredible movie.
Cool. All right. Well, sounds like it's a busy week at this busy month at the center.
Busy month. Yeah.
I love it. That sounds good. Cool. All right. And as for me, if you want to check out new episodes of Under the Radar, just stay tuned on Slam Radio on Sirius XM every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. Also, to see the video version of Under the Radar, tune into Manhattan Neighborhood Network every Monday at 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. And as always, feel free to subscribe to the Under the Radar YouTube channel and share the love. Mr. Roran, thank you for tonight, sir. This was
always great. A pleasure.
Yes, sir. Alexander Payne would be very proud of us tonight. And everyone watching and listening at home, I'm your host, Randy Unger. Under the Radar, bringing movies and people together one frame at a time. We'll see you next time, guys. Take care.